That's such an awesome promise God has given us. I mean, I can think about those promises and some of the things I have done with those promises. I think about Mark 11:23. I quoted that one time. A lady had burned an arm. She was in a place of business and she had burned her right arm. She had burned all the skin off of her right arm. She had fell into a big commercial oven. She was screaming. Of course, I quoted Isaiah 53:4, which said Jesus bore our pain. And then also Mark 16:18, where Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But Mark 11:23 goes a step beyond that. It says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe it with my heart, I can have it. So I made that woman a promise. I said, because Jesus made you this promise and made me this promise, I'm going to guarantee you, woman, you're going to get a supernatural healing from the King. And the King's name is Jesus. And that was 5 o'clock one afternoon with a burned arm. All the skin burned off the bottom of her arm. Almost immediately, she had no pain. And then after the pain went away, she wouldn't go to the doctor. So from 5 o'clock in the evening until midnight when she got home, the burn was still there. Her husband saw it and he wanted to take her to the doctor, but she wouldn't go because there was no pain. So the woman went to bed, and the next morning when she woke up, 6, 7, 8 hours later, whatever it was, her arm did not have a single mark or a burn on it. Overnight, Jesus had sent the Holy Spirit to completely restore that arm because of my faith and my speaking His words. With those kind of promises, right after those magnificent promises that He said we can do those kind of wonderful things, He said, but when you stand praying, forgive. Because if you do not forgive, neither will I forgive you. Which means He's not going to answer your prayer. I don't understand how we as Christians can read these promises in God's Word and miss them. Because, see, since God's no respecter of persons, it makes no difference to Him if you're one of His smallest children or His adult children. In other words, one of the newest comers into the kingdom of God or an evangelist that's preaching the Word of God. In fact, really, when you become the evangelist or the preacher or the Sunday school teacher, you're supposed to be knowledgeable of these things and He holds you more accountable because He says so in the book of James. To those of us that know these things, He says, we're to those that much is given, much shall be required. He holds us accountable more so than He does others. Those of us that know the Word of God. But He will absolutely curse you if you don't do what He says. But even though He says that when sickness and disease are due to a curse and no science of man will cure that person, and another thing He says, when the tithe, the first tenth of your increase, is withheld, that is the only place in the entire Word of God where I've ever read where the King says, I will curse you with a curse. And somebody will say, well, after I get through paying all my bills, there's not enough money left to give God anything. Well, that's not the way God said do it. God said, give me the first tenth of your increase. That means you get paid, you make $500, $50 off of the top of that belongs to God. And you give it to your church, some ministry or something that's doing things for the kingdom of God. But you take that first 10% and you give it to God. If you will, then when you give it, you say, Lord, I want to thank you that you said in your word that you promised to meet all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you give to God, call Him in remembrance of His promises. And when you do that, He will bless your socks off. He wants to know, do you know my promises? He is a faith God. Now, you can be a tither and still not be blessed. You can be your needs can be met, but you cannot really be blessed until you start quoting the word to the King. Say, Lord, you said that if I will give, you will give to me. You said if I will give bountifully, you will return to me bountifully. So, Lord, I'm giving not only a tithe, but more than a tithe into your kingdom, so I know you're going to bless me bountifully. Now then, if people withhold the tithe, their curse will be upon all of your resources, and no amount of planning or toil will curb the devourer. It seems like just everything goes wrong. Your equipment breaks down. Your car breaks down. Something happens at your house, or you get stopped by the police, or whatever. It seems like everything goes wrong. The devourer is everywhere on your case when you do not give God the first 10% of all of your increase. And there's not any amount of planning that you can do that will curb that devourer. The only thing that will stop that is for you to repent and ask God to forgive you for not being a tither and start tithing, doing what God says. And then the Lord will curb the devourer. Oh, but we can think of people who have robbed God in tithes and offerings and they still have wealth. Yes, but God said through Malachi, I will even send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Malachi 2:2. God is not mocked. Even one's wealth can become a curse. I mean, that can happen. In fact, I'll read that verse to you. In Malachi 2:2, he says, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. See? The Word of God, it's forever settled in heaven. It cannot be changed for nobody. But in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, he asked a question. Will a man rob God? Well, a man would say, no, absolutely not. I would never rob God. But he said, yet you have robbed me. And they said, but how have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings you have robbed me. So anytime we don't give God his 10%, we have robbed him. And then he says in verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation of you have robbed me. Wow. The nation of America, the church, has robbed God. We're not tithers. I've been a member of a church a lot of years. I've been on counting committees. I've done all kinds of things. I've served on all kinds of offices in the church. And I'll tell you that in the average church I've been associated with, 15 to 25% of the people are tithers. The rest of them are not. And I can assure you that 15 to 25% are the ones that are blessed. All those that are tithers are blessed. Those that will just throw a $5 or a $10 bill or a $20 bill in the offering plate when they want to, those people are definitely not blessed. They're cursed with a curse, and all kinds of problems is going to come upon their life. And there's no way to curb the devourer until they repent of their sins. And it can even bring sickness and disease upon them. In 2 Chronicles 7:13, the Lord says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among your people. However, through repentance, new blessings will come. Verse 14, the Lord says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is a very well-known verse, but we know it, we've read it, but we won't act on it. It says, if my people, there's that if my people, which are called by my name. Now, he's not talking about the lost world out there. Those people don't belong to God. Only you and I that profess to be Christians are accountable. He says, if my people, the people of God, which are called by my name, if they shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Oh, if the church would only hear that, if we would repent of our sins, and if the church would start walking in obedience to God's word, if we would wake up in the morning, the first thing we do in the morning, we wake up praising the Lord, worshiping Him, telling Him how much we love Him, thanking Him for the beautiful day He's given us, praising Him that we had a beautiful night's sleep last night. You want to sleep good? You praise the Lord for those beautiful nights. Get up. Simple things. Thank Him that you can go to the bathroom. Thank Him that your bowels work fine. I mean, people take things for granted. Nothing has to work. But if it works like it's supposed to, thank Him for it. He's the one that's blessing you. If you can open and close your hand this morning, praise Him. I've seen people's hands with arthritis, Christians that are so crooked that they couldn't even begin to make a fist. They couldn't even use their hand. So, in fact, about 7 years ago, I was speaking in a church in North Fort Worth. And there was a man there, that a little English guy by the name of William. I didn't know who he was at the time, but after I spoke on faith for an hour and a half, I invited people to come down for healing or for whatever they needed. This little man had had an arm broken in 7 or 8 places in the last 7 or 8 years. I forget, there was a 7 and an 8 involved, and it was either 8 years or 7 years or 8 breaks or 7 breaks in his arm. And his arm, when it had healed, it drew this hand down and about half closed, and it all withered. And he couldn't open it, couldn't close it. He came down and asked me if I thought God would heal his hand. I said, of course He will. All you got to do is open it. I said, extend it. And he started to move. And as he started to move, right before everybody's eyes in that little church, his hand extended and it became not withered anymore. Just like the man in the Bible when Jesus said, stretch out your hand. When that man began to move and stretch out his hand right before all of our eyes, and it's so awesome to see God do these wonderful things. He just began to stretch his hand out, and that hand was completely healed. Now see, he had been under a curse, but he had repented. We had broken the curse, and he accepted the free gift that Jesus had given him and under the new covenant. And when he reached out by faith to open that hand, that hand opened before everybody's eyes, and little William was completely healed. Well, every time I would see him, he would be opening and closing that hand saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you, it's very easy to worship and praise the King when He does something like that for you. If you will obey Him and worship Him and praise Him and do what He says, there's absolutely no limits to what God will do for you. We have to stop right there today, but if you'd like the teachings in its entirety, call us at 940-242-2106 or go to the web, www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these teachings in their entirety, free and postpaid. Remember, Jesus is Lord.